Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashad Sunni El-Amin, your host, and this show is Your Health is Your Wealth. We thank you all for tuning in, and we pray that everybody is well. I want to thank the Imam Alfred Muhammad for allowing me this spot every Thursday, 6 to 7:30, where we speak about health issues. I'm a holistic educator, a naturopath by profession, and I want to thank you all again for tuning in. I always suggest that everybody have pen and pad ready, because valuable information is always shared on this program. Very valuable information. So, brothers and sisters, please, just take a moment and get your pen and pads, and maybe have your family members tune in, maybe call your coworkers or neighbors and have them tune into this program, because I'm pretty sure there's many people out there that have health issues, and what I may speak on today might be one of those issues. But we're going to continue, and I apologize. Last week, I was not able to be on. I had Brother Wali Hakim fill in for me. You know, Wali is a motivator, and he's pretty good at what he does. We call him the motivational champion of the world, and that's the title he uses. And he is a good friend of mine. And again, I thank him for filling in for me last week. And I hope you all got something out of his program. So he told me he spoke on a lot of topics, and I wish I could have tuned in, but I was down in Virginia. I was on my little vacation. I had to get away. And I must say, Virginia is very nice. I mean, the part we went to, Williamsburg, was so peaceful and quiet, and just so clean, and the people were so friendly. I mean, beautiful hospitality. You know, the South always still has that Southern hospitality, and the people are warm and friendly. So I really enjoyed the trip. It was very refreshing, and I look forward to going back down that way again soon. But anyway, going to our topic today. Last time I spoke, I did speak on natural food supplements. I didn't have a chance to finish the topic because I had so much to share with you. But before we go there, I always try to share some tidbits on health. And hopefully you all got your pen and pads ready so you can take some of this information down. It's always good to take this down, because all this is going to benefit you. Everything I share with you is going to benefit you. It's going to help you with your health if you apply it. If you don't apply it, well, that's a different story. But anyway, let me give you some tidbits on health. I got about maybe 20 tidbits here I want to share with you. They're very short. I mean, just a few seconds each. I share this information, then we'll go into our topic. First thing I want to speak about is choline. Choline is C-H-O-L-I-N-E. And what is choline for? Choline is for the support of cell membranes. And it's good for your memory, also good for muscle function, and to protect against cancer. Now, where do we get choline? Well, you can always buy the supplement from the health food store. But if you want to get it from a good food source, nuts are a very good food source for choline. And most nuts have choline in it. Also, pumpkin seeds are loaded with choline. You would want to get the raw pumpkin seeds, unsalted, just the natural pumpkin seeds, which you can mix with raisins to make it tasty. Also, sunflower seeds are also a good source. So keep that in mind. Choline, very good for your cell membranes. Now, also, I know many of you use salt in your foods, And it's okay to use sea salt. Sea salt is a good replacement for table salt. Table salt is chemical, and I wouldn't use that if I were you. It's not the best salt, but sea salt is very good. But if you don't want to use salt and you want to, you know, use a replacement for salt, use lemons or limes. If you use that in the food, it'll give it that salty taste. Yes, almost the same. So lemons or limes in replacement of salt or sea salt. You see? So keep that in mind. How many of you know if your state has fluoridated water? Now, fluoride, first of all, is a poison. They had to get rid of it somehow, so they figured to use it in the water, and then they tell you it's good for your teeth and all this here. And we're finding out that fluoridated water actually mottles your teeth. Yes, and also it can calcify your arteries. Did you know that? Yes, calcify your arteries. It destroys your immune system and can also cause cancer. Fluoridated water. So maybe you should check with your water company, see if your water is fluoridated. I know here where I live at in Jersey, and we don't have fluoridated water here. I think the governor did not allow fluoridation of water here, which is good. You see, so just check, and but you know, you don't want to drink tap water, especially if it is fluoridated. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. If you want to learn more about fluoridation, just go to your computer and then type in fluoride, the pros and cons, and it's mostly cons. So that's how you find out. Oh, just fluoridated water. You can punch that in. Okay. Green tea. You know, green tea is good for many things. Believe it or not, green tea is very powerful. But I'm just going to give you one tidbit on green tea. It lowers cholesterol. And how many of you may have high cholesterol? Well, if you just have a couple cups of green tea a day, it helps to lower your cholesterol. The next is diet sodas. Now, I know many of you love your diet sodas, and you think because it's a diet soda, it's going to help you lose weight. No, as a matter of fact, it's the reverse. It'll help you gain weight, okay? And it is not good for your health in any respect. Artificial sweeteners are deadly. And look at it, diet, D-I-E-T. Now take that T off of you, that die. Well, hey, maybe that's trying to tell you something. Anyway, diet sodas and high meat protein leads to kidney disease and kidney failure. Do you know how many people are on dialysis in this day and time? When I was young, we never heard of dialysis. I never even knew there was such a thing, or never knew anybody who was on dialysis. But now, today, everybody knows about dialysis. As a matter of fact, you find dialysis centers all over the different cities and towns. I know, especially in the black community, we see a lot of dialysis centers. And this is sad because you don't want to be on dialysis. You should take care of your kidneys. Stay away from those diet sodas. Stay away from the heavy protein, especially for red meats, because this is just creating more problems for you. If you don't believe me, look it up for yourself. I'm not making any of this up. I'm just giving you the truth. And I love sharing the truth with you all. Another thing, grains. you know, there's certain grains that are very good for you, and you should look into it. Now, because grains is, if you're especially of African descent, you know, in the homeland in Africa, they use a lot of grains. Because grains are very healthy. Millet is one of the best grains that you can eat. A lot of Africans use millet. And millet is very healthy for your system. But let me give you the best grains. Aside from millet, you got what they call Aramanth. A-R-A-M-A-N-T-H. Quinoa, which I really love. Q-U-I-N-O-A. You can find these in your health supermarkets or your health food stores. Spelt, which is better than wheat. S-P-E-L-T. That's a good replacement for wheat. And, of course, rye. You know, you have rye bread and all. But rye is a very good grain. And if you love brown rice, the best brown rice would be basmati rice. And that's B-A-S-M-A-T-I, basmati. Also, you got teff, T-E-F-F, and also massa flour, M-A-S-S-A, flour from corn. But make sure it's organically grown because you don't want have that from GMO corn, you see. There's so much GMO out here. Also, wild rice is great, especially if you get it from Michigan, Minnesota, or Canada. These are also great. And, you know, speaking about GMOs, I know many of you don't even realize you're eating GMOs, and you don't know the damage it's doing to your body. You need to go and to the Internet and type in GMOs and learn about GMOs. Because this food is very destructive, you see. And many of you ignorantly are eating it, not knowing how it's going to affect you later on in life. So make sure that you stay away from GMO. Matter of fact, we should boycott GMOs and let your supermarket markets, the managers or whatever, let them know that you don't want GMOs in your town or in the supermarket. You want to avoid those things, you know, and if you can show them what damage this GMO causes to the body, if you can bring them some proof, maybe it'll, you know, go along with it and say, okay, you know, that maybe we should boycott this. That's for you to just look into. Now, there's something that's really great for cancer. Yes, I know there's many out there who have cancer, but this is called Artemisia. I'm going to spell this to you. A-R-T-E-M-I-S-I-A. Now, Artemisia is an ingredient in something called wormwood, W-O-R-M-W-O-O-D. Wormwood is used, and you get this wormwood in an extract form, is used to rid the body of parasites. And there's a connection between parasites and cancer. So, look into that. As a matter of fact, if you have cancer, you should start using wormwood. Because of the Artemisia in it, it will help you. Okay? So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Antibiotics in cattle feed. They use it to make them fatter. And here you are. You go and purchase the meat. And then the people eat the cattle and are also ingesting the antibiotics. And guess what? They become obese also. So you got a fat cow, then you have a fat human. No pun intended, but, you know, it's not good to eat all this beef that's conventionally raised because they use antibiotics to fatten them quick, but it's affecting you also because you're taking in the antibiotics. That's why it's good to get organically raised, grass-fed, and halal, where they slaughter it and remove all the blood. But it has to be raised naturally. Okay. Next, arsenic fed to chickens in their feed. How many of you are aware of that? Huh? Did your chicken supplier tell you that their chickens contain arsenic? Yes, these big commercial producers of chickens use arsenic in the feed. They don't use natural feed. And then that you want to have chickens, if you're a chicken eater, if you consume chicken, you should try to get something more organic that's fed natural feed or they feed from the earth. That's what you would want. But yes, chicken feed has arsenic in it. And some chickens are fed pork pellets. Now, I'm sure there's some of you who don't eat pork because of your religion or just you're not into pork. Well, you need to find out if they're being fed pork pellets. Okay, so look into that. Women out there who are suffering from menopause, a few things you can use would be something called Vitex, which is spelled V as in Victor, I, T as in Tom, E, X, Vitex. Vitex is actually chaste berry. That's what it is, and it's good for menopause. Also something called Maca, M-A-C-A, is from South America. You can buy it in a powder form or a capsule form, but Maca is also good. And black cohosh, very good herb also, black cohosh. Cohosh is spelled C-O-H-O-S-H. So look into that, sisters who may be suffering with menopause. Now, this is something that I just found out about lately, and it's something called glyphosate, G-L-Y-P-H-O-S-P-H-A-T-E. This glyphosate, which is in what they call Roundup, okay, from Monsanto, a herbicide, is sprayed in parks and green areas. And guess what happens? You have children that play in these parks, and this glyphosate is sprayed on the grass. Well, glyphosate, they're finding a connection with lymphomas and with non-Hodgkin's disease. Yes. So you want to make sure that the children aren't playing in parks that are being sprayed with glyphosate. You need to check with the city officials, maybe City Hall, and find out if they're using glyphosate in the parks. If it's a county park, you got to check with the county. So look into that, brothers and sisters, because you don't want your children to suffer from these diseases, even yourself. Now, some of you are on the grass, too, sitting on the grass and playing in the grass. So be careful. Just a warning. The best cabbage to eat would be green cabbage. Red cabbage is actually a hybrid. There are many hybrid foods. It's been going on for hundreds of years where they're creating hybrids. But if you don't eat cabbage, green cabbage is the best choice. Let's see, what else do we have here? Okay, the best apples. Now, the best apples to consume, and you got to realize a lot of apples are hybrids also. Some are man-made creations. But your best apples are what they call Pippins, P-I-P-P-E-N-S, the Granny Smith, oh, I always love Granny Smith, and Red Delicious. These are the older apples and are your best apples. There's some others too, but many are man-made creations, so just inquire about it when you purchase them. Yellow grapefruits are best. The others, the pink and all those, are man-made. Yes, and guess what? Tangerines are also man-made. You see? So keep that in mind. So if you don't eat grapefruit, make sure it's yellow grapefruit. Okay, and let's see, maybe something else. If you have tuberculosis, you should look into vitamin A. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Yes, those were a few tidbits I had wanted to share with you. Hopefully you got something out of that. Now we're going to go back to natural food supplements. I want to continue from 2 weeks ago. I wasn't able to finish. But we all know, and I explained last time, that natural food supplements include a wide variety of products, and almost all health food stores carry them. And a number of enlightened drug stores and supermarkets stock them on their shelves as well. So in general, natural food supplements are composed of, derived from, or byproducts of foods that provide a multitude of health benefits. And in some cases, health benefit claims made by manufacturers are based upon a supplement in use in traditional healing. And in other cases, they are based on modern research and development. So I mentioned quite a few last time, and I have quite a few more I want to share with you. And then maybe I'll be able to get to my other two topics, tonsillitis, which I never got to last time, and I've been promising that to you for a few weeks, as a matter of fact, and I will get to it. But we did speak of some of the products last time. We spoke about the barley grass, the beet propolis, the alfalfa, the aloe vera, and quite a few others. But let's touch on a few more that I may have not gotten to, and I'm sure I didn't, because I marked the ones on my list that I did share with you, and now I'm going to go to the ones that are unmarked that I didn't share with you. So let's look at some of the supplements other than the ones I spoke of last week. Chlorella, C-H-L-O-R-E-L-L-A, chlorella. What is chlorella? Well, let's look at it. Chlorella is a tiny single-celled water-grown algae containing a nucleus and an enormous amount of readily available chlorophyll. It also contains protein, yes, approximately 58%, and carbohydrates and all of the B vitamins, vitamin C and E, amino acids, and rare trace minerals. In fact, it is virtually a complete food. Yes, chlorella is a complete food. It contains more vitamin B12 than liver does. Now think about that. Plus a considerable amount of beta-carotene, and it has a strong cell wall, however, which makes it difficult to gain access to its nutrients. So consequently, it requires factory processing to be effective. Now, you know, chlorella was basically produced in Japan. And we know in Japan, in the 40s, they were bombed with nuclear bombs, of course, dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. But they were later on able to produce what they call chlorella, and chlorella is taken by a lot of Japanese people. and it is sold here widely in America. If you go to your health food stores, you will find chlorella. One great one is called Sun Chlorella, which is a very good product. I think you'll really benefit from it if you were to use it. But anyway, chlorella is one of the few edible species of water-grown algae. And the chlorophyll in chlorella can help speed the cleansing of the bloodstream. And chlorella is very high in RNA and DNA and has been found to protect against the effects of ultraviolet radiation. And studies show that chlorella is an excellent source of protein, especially for people who cannot or choose not to eat meat. Now, of course, yes, some people say, well, if you don't eat meat, well, you don't get protein. Well, there's protein in all foods, but chlorella has 58% protein. So if you need protein, look at chlorella. And also hemp. Hemp also contains a lot of protein, H-E-M-P, which you can purchase from your health food store too. So those are two great sources of protein for those of you who are vegetarians or vegan. You see, as myself, I'm a vegetarian and always try to consume whatever protein in a natural source. I stay away from meats I choose to because of all the chemicals and antibiotics and everything else. You just can't trust it. If you knew how they produce this meat, you would probably not want to eat it no more. But I'm not going there today. Okay, so I just leave that alone for now, and we'll just talk about that another day, as I would like to do a whole program just on meat. Okay, what else is good? Corn germ. You know, corn germ, and make sure, listen, whenever I mention corn, make sure it is organic, as I said earlier, because most corn today is GMO, genetically modified organism, okay? You don't want that. So just if you purchase corn germ, make sure it's organic. But anyway, corn germ is made by a process that isolates the embryo of the corn plant, which contains the most usable nutrients. Corn germ has a longer shelf life than wheat germ and is higher in some nutrients, especially zinc. Brothers, gentlemen, zinc, you need it for your prostate. Corn germ contains 10 times the amount of zinc found in wheat germ. And you can use corn germ to bread chicken or fish. That is also good when added to cereals and used as a topping. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Corn germ, very good supplement for you to use. Another one is something called DMSO. It's called dimethyl sulfoxide. I know you don't want me to spell that one. You might be here all day spelling. Just write down DMSO. And DMSO is a byproduct of wood processing for paper making. It is a somewhat oily liquid that looks like mineral oil and has a slightly garlicky odor. And because it is an excellent solvent, it is widely used as a degreaser, a paint thinner, and antifreeze. Okay, now you're probably saying, what the heck I want to take that for? Just pay attention. However, it also has remarkable therapeutic properties, especially for the healing of injuries. Applying DMSO on sprained ankles or pulled muscles, dislocated joints, and even at the site of simple fractures can virtually eliminate the pain. It also promotes immune system activity. And DMSO is absorbed through the skin and enter the bloodstream by osmosis through capillary walls. It is then distributed through the circulatory system and ultimately is excreted through the urine. It has been used successfully in the treatment of brain and spinal cord damage, also arthritis, Down syndrome, sciatica, and other back problems, keloids, I know many of you got keloids out there from scarring, acne, burns, musculoskeletal problems, sports injuries, cancer, sinusitis, headaches, skin ulcers, herpes, and cataracts. So look into the MSO. It may help you with one of these problems I just mentioned. You see? So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Next, essential fatty acids. We all need fat in our bodies. Now, I'm not talking about all that saturated fat. Saturated fat is really not bad. It's how much you consume of it that's bad. But one thing you really need is essential fatty acids, which we call EFAs. What are essential fatty acids? Essential fatty acids are the basic building blocks of which fats and oils are composed. And contrary to popular myth, the body does not need fat. It must be the right kind, however, okay? Yes, it's just got to be the right kind of fat. The fatty acids that are necessary for health and that cannot be made by the body are called essential fatty acids, EFAs. They are occasionally or referred to as vitamin F or polyunsaturates. And EFAs must be supplied through the diet. That's the only way you're going to get it. Yes, I know I mentioned the saturated fats and all. Some of you are just don't eat meat, but it's just how you eat and how much saturated fat determines how your health is going to be. But essential fatty acids are more important. Well, let's look at it. Essential fatty acids have desirable effects on many disorders. They improve the skin and hair, reduce blood pressure, aid in the prevention of arthritis, lower cholesterol and triglyceride levels, and reduce the risk of blood clot formation. And they are beneficial for candidiasis, cardiovascular disease, eczema, and psoriasis. And are found in high concentration in the brain. Yes, the essential fatty acids are found in high concentrations in the brain. And EFAs aid in the transmission of nerve impulses and are needed for the normal development and functioning of the brain. And a deficiency of essential fatty acids can lead to an impaired ability to learn and recall information. So you need it. Yes. I know you want to be able to recall information. You don't want to forget. You want to feel like you got Alzheimer's or something. You see? Anyway, every living cell in the body needs essential fatty acids. They are essential for rebuilding and producing new cells. And essential fatty acids are also used by the body for the production of prostaglandins, the hormone-like substances that act as chemical messengers and regulators of various body processes. So there are two basic categories of essential fatty acids. What are they? Okay, you have omega-3 and omega-6. Fatty acids. Omega-6 fatty acids, which include linoleic and gamma-linoleic acids, are found primarily in raw nuts, seeds, and legumes, and in unsaturated vegetable oils, such as borage oil, that's B as in big, O-R-A-G as in George, E, borage oil, and grape seed oil, primrose oil, sesame oil, okay, that's where, and it's soybean oil, but if you use soybean oil, make sure it's organic, because a lot of soybean is GMO. Okay, how about the omega-3 fatty acids? Okay, let's look at that. And you will find that in fresh, deep water fish, in fish oil, and certain vegetable oils, among them flaxseed oil, which is excellent, and walnut oil, also excellent. Also found in canola oil, but if you use canola oil, it must be organic. So in order to supply essential fatty acids, these oils must be consumed in pure liquid or supplement form and must not be subjected to heat, either in processing or cooking, because heat destroys essential fatty acids. And worse, it results in the creation of dangerous free radicals, okay? And we know what free radicals are. Those are those cells that run wild, which lead to cancer. Okay, so if oils are hydrogenated, that is processed to make the oil more solid, as is commonly done in the production of margarine, which is a terrible food, the linoleic acid is converted into trans fatty acids, which are not beneficial to the body. You see? So you don't want the hydrogenated oils. And the daily requirement for essential fatty acids is satisfied by an amount equivalent to 10 to 20% of total caloric intake. And the most essential of the essential fatty acids is linoleic acid. And that's spelled L-I-N-O-L-E-I-C, linoleic acid. And a number of sources of essential fatty acids are recommended, okay, and among them are the fish oils, the flaxseeds, the flaxseed oil, grape seed oil, and the primrose oil. So hopefully you all will look into the essential fatty acids. Another, I'm not sure, did I touch on fish oil? Well, fish oil is a good source of omega-3 essential fatty acids. Salmon and mackerel, herring, and sardines are good sources of fish oil because they have a higher fat content and provide more omega-3 factors than other fishes. For instance, 4 ounces of salmon contain up to 3,600 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids, while 4 ounces of cod, which is a low-fat fish, contains only 300 milligrams. Now, this is something you should look into. Now, if you're going to buy or purchase fish oil, you should look into Norwegian salmon oil. Which is good. You know, a lot of stuff from Norway is pretty good when it comes to fish oils. If you find fish oils from Norway, you're getting some pretty good oil, okay? And, you know, a lot of these oils will be more mild-tasting than the other varieties. So you can look into that. You'll find them in your health food store. But fish oils are very good. Now, any people with diabetes, if you have diabetes, you should not take fish oil supplements because of the high fat content, but they should consume fish for its essential fatty acids. Okay, so we're looking pretty good here. I think we're doing very good. Would you like me to maybe give you a little more information on flax seeds and the grape seed oil that I mentioned, and the primrose oil, because maybe I didn't give you enough information about them individually. So let's look at flax seeds and flaxseed oil. Flax seeds are rich in omega-3 essential fatty acids, as I mentioned earlier, but also in magnesium, potassium, and fiber. And you know, your heart needs magnesium and potassium, and your colon needs fiber to keep things flowing. But magnesium is great for the heart, also potassium. And they are also a good source of the B vitamins, B as in big, and also in protein and zinc. And they are low in saturated fats and calories and contain no cholesterol. And the nutty taste of ground flax seeds is pleasant, and they can be mixed with water or any fruit or vegetable juice. But listen, don't just buy flax seeds itself and put them in your salad and think that it's going to do you any good. You have to grind it. You have to grind these flax seeds. Because if you just take the flax seeds the way they are, they're just going to go in and out. They're not going to break down. So you have to grind. You can grind it. You can put it in your smoothie, grind it in the blender or in a grinder and throw it in your smoothie. Okay, or you can buy the oil. But anyway, flax seeds, you can mix them in your vegetable juice if you like. They can also be added to salads, soups, and to your yogurt, you know, cereals, baked goods, or fresh juices. I know a lot of people make muffins and they use flax seeds, you see. Also, you can if you don't have one, you should look into a little coffee grinder or a seed grinder to be able to grind this. But if you have a blender, I would suggest throw some in the blender and let it spin, and it'll grind it down also. So keep that in mind. But anyway, if you don't prefer to eat the seeds, you can use flax seed oil as an alternative. And like the seeds from which it is extracted, organic cold-pressed flaxseed oil is rich in essential fatty acids. And several studies have shown that it can reduce the pain, inflammation, and swelling of arthritis. It also has been found to lower blood cholesterol and triglyceride levels, and to help reduce the hardening effects of cholesterol on cell membranes. And if you do purchase flaxseed oil, you must refrigerate it. It must always be refrigerated because you don't want it to go rancid. Okay? So keep that in mind also. Now, let's look at the grapeseed oil. And of the many natural sources of essential fatty acids, grapeseed oil is among the highest in linoleic acid and among the lowest in saturated fats. And it contains no trans fatty acids, no cholesterol, and no sodium. And it has a light, nutty taste that brings out the flavor in many foods. And unlike most other oils, it can be heated to temperatures as high as 485 degrees Fahrenheit without producing dangerous and possibly carcinogenic free radicals. So these features make it good for use in cooking. Buy only grapeseed oil that is cold pressed and contains no preservatives, okay? And you can find these in your health food store or your health food supermarkets. The other one I want to touch on was the primrose oil, which is PRIMROSE. Primrose oil, also known as evening primrose oil, contains the highest amount of gamma linoleic acid, GLA, of any food substance. Now, this fatty acid is known to help prevent hardening of the arteries. Yeah, how many of you have hardening arteries out there? Okay, you might want to look into the primrose oil. Also, this acid also prevents heart disease, premenstrual syndrome, multiple sclerosis, SMS, and high blood pressure. It relieves pain and inflammation, enhances the release of sex hormones, including estrogen and testosterone, aids in lowering cholesterol levels, and is beneficial for cirrhosis of the liver. How many of you have cirrhosis of the liver? How many of you drink alcohol, which you shouldn't be consuming, which is affecting your liver and creating cirrhosis? How many of you may have hepatitis, which can lead to cirrhosis? So look into the primrose oil. And many women have found that primrose oil supplements relieve unpleasant menopausal symptoms such as hot flashes because it promotes the production of estrogen. So women suffering from breast cancer that is estrogen-related should avoid or limit their intake of primrose oil. Black currency oil is also a good substitute. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Okay, I think we're doing pretty good. Fiber, as I mentioned earlier, you know your body needs fiber. And most of you are meat eaters. And you know meat does not have no fiber. And meat is the hardest food to digest. Meat is not that great for the body. And it takes a long time to digest. But let's look at fiber. Fiber is found in many foods. And if you don't know it, fiber helps to lower the blood cholesterol level and stabilizes blood sugar levels. It helps prevent colon cancer. Yes, colon cancer. You know, if you were eating a high fiber diet most of your life, you wouldn't have to go to the hospital, have your colon tested and get colonoscopy and all this here just to find out if your colon is okay. No, you wouldn't have to go through that. But because of a poor diet and a heavy meat diet, most of you wind up having to get a colonoscopy just to see if your colon is affected somehow and maybe have tumors in it or whatever, or clogged up. But anyway, let's look at fiber. As I mentioned, it helps prevent colon cancer, constipation, hemorrhoids. I'm sure many of you will use those suppositories because you have hemorrhoids. You go into the bathroom and straining and you can't get nothing out, and before you know it, you have hemorrhoids. If you were eating high fiber, you wouldn't have hemorrhoids. You see? Very important. Think about it. Also, it helps with obesity and many other disorders. Fiber is also good for removing certain toxic metals from the body. Yes, because the refining process has removed much of the natural fiber from our foods. The typical American diet is lacking in fiber. You all want to eat all the fast food. Yes, and it's going to lead you to fast sickness and fast disease and ditch you to the graveyard faster. Yes. So there are seven basic classifications of fiber. What are they? Well, I hope you're listening and taking notes now, okay? Because you really need to know this information. It will help save your life. Now, what are the seven basic classifications of fiber? First is bran. Bran is powerful. Bran, I tell you, you should eat oat bran. Have oat bran in the morning. It's a cereal. It's made from oats. Very effective. The high fiber, and it will help you move your bowels, especially if you are a constipated person. Anyway, bran, cellulose, gum, hemicellulose, lignin, mucilages, and pectin, and each form has its own function. And it is best to rotate among several different supplemental fiber sources. And you can start with small amounts and gradually increase your intake until your stools are the proper consistency. They shouldn't be hard. They should be soft and smooth, you see. Also be aware that while today's average diet is lacking in fiber, consuming excessive amounts may decrease the absorption of zinc, iron, and calcium. So always take supplemental fiber separately from other medications or supplements. Otherwise, it can lessen their strength and effectiveness. Okay? Now, in addition to using a fiber supplement, you should make sure to get fiber through your diet. Make sure your diet contains these high fiber foods, which are whole grain cereals and flours, brown rice, agar, that's A-G-A-R twice, all kinds of bran, most fresh fruit, dried prunes, nuts, seeds, especially flax seeds, okay, beans, lentils, oh, which I love so much, lentils. Matter of fact, believe it or not, I got a pot cooking right now. when I get done, I'm going to dive into it, believe me. I just can't wait. Okay, peas and fresh raw vegetables. And eat several of these foods daily. And when eating organic produce, leave the skin on the apples and potatoes, okay? Cook, just a lot of you just don't like the skin, but the skin has a lot of fiber in it, and the apples have a lot of fiber in it, and the most of your nutrients in the apple is in the skin. Now, if you eat chicken, then coat the chicken in corn bran or oats for bacon. Also add extra bran to cereals and breads, okay? And if you are a popcorn lover, you know, unsalted, unbuttered popcorn is also an excellent for added fiber, okay? And if you are going to add salt to popcorn, use the sea salt. Don't use the table salt, okay? And you don't need butter on your popcorn. If you want a substitute for butter, use coconut oil. It gives it a buttery texture, and coconut oil is excellent for your health. And your popcorn is not going to taste like coconut. Okay? I cook with coconut oil. I use coconut oil all the time, especially on my skin and my hair, because it is excellent, and I always tell you that. Coconut oil is the number 3 oil on the planet. Now, okay, so let's look at some of the bran and the gums and mucilages. This is all dealing with fiber now. I'm going to give you a whole list of things here because I feel this is very important that you use this to save your life. To save you from colon cancer. Yes, from colon cancer, which many suffer with today. And some are having their parts of their colon removed and they have to carry a bag on their side for the feces to go into. Do you want to go there, brothers and sisters? I'm sure you don't. But some of you out there have this problem. You see? Save yourself from surgery. Now, let's look at the bran, gums, and mucilages. Both the gums, and I'm not talking about chewing gum. I know automatically some of you think about Wrigley's or something. I'm not talking about that. But anyway, both gums and mucilages help to regulate blood glucose levels, aid in lowering cholesterol, and help in the removal of toxins. And where will you find the gums and mucilages? They are found in oatmeal, oat bran, sesame seeds, and dried beans. Now, one of the following that I'm going to mention should be part of the daily dietary plan. Fennel seed. You ever hear of fennel seed? Let me spell it for you. F as in Frank, E-N-N-E-L. Fennel seed is an herb that is helpful for digestive purposes. The seeds of this plant help to rid the intestinal tract of mucus and aid in relieving flatulence. Yes, you know what that is. Passing that gas. Anyway, removing mucus, because a lot of you have colons that are loaded with mucus, and it becomes a breeding ground for disease that attacks toxins and other things that can create colon cancer. Anyway, so fennel seed, keep that in mind. You can purchase this from the store. How about this one? Glucomannan. Glucomannan is G, as in George, L-U-C-O-M, as in mother, A-N-N, as in Nick, A-N, as in Nick. They're derived from the tuber of the Amorphophallus plant. It picks up and removes fat from the colon wall. You hear that? Fat from the colon wall, and I'm sure many of you have plenty of fat in that colon wall. This substance is good for diabetes and obesity because it helps to get rid of fat. It has been recognized for normalizing blood sugar and is good for people with hypoglycemia. Glucomannan expands to 60 times its own weight, thereby helping to curb the appetite. So taking 2 or 3 capsules with a large glass of water 30 minutes before meals is helpful for reducing allergic reactions and some symptoms associated with high and low blood sugar disorders. Always be sure to drink a large glass of water when taking glucomannan in capsule or pill form, as capsules can lodge in the throat and expand there, causing breathing problems. So glucomannan is tasteless and odorless and can be added to foods to help normalize blood sugar. So, always drink plenty of water. Water is something you need. You all need water. Some of you don't even want to drink water. You have my Mountain Dew. Want my Mountain Dew? Yeah, you Mountain Dew, okay. It's going to do you in. But anyway, let's keep going. Let's look at guar gum. G as in George, U-A-R. Gum. This is, and I'm not talking about chewing gum, okay? Extracted from the seeds of the guar plant. Guar gum is good for the treatment of diabetes and for curbing the appetite. It also has the ability to reduce the levels of cholesterol, triglycerides, and low-density lipoproteins in the blood and binds with toxic substances and carries them out of the body. Now, they have what they call guar gum tablets, which must be chewed thoroughly or sucked gradually, not swallowed whole, and should be taken with lots of water because guar gum has a tendency to ball up in the throat when mixed with saliva. So it should not be used by individuals who have difficulty swallowing or have had gastrointestinal surgery. So some persons with colon disorders may have trouble using guar gum. Okay, that's just a warning. But if you use it, make sure you drink plenty of water with it. Okay? Plain and simple. Oat bran and rice bran. Bran is the broken coat of the seed of cereal grain that has been separated from the flour or meal by sifting or bolting, and it helps to lower cholesterol. I'm telling you, listen, if you eat oat bran every morning, you don't lower that cholesterol. Do you hear me? Do you need a drug? For what? To have more side effects? And it's costly? Oat bran is cheap. And it's much more effective. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Wake up. You got to start. Listen, I know some of you are addicted to these medical drugs and you're hooked on them and you think you can't get away. Yes, you can come off all these things when you start to put natural things into your body. Okay? Speak to your doctor. And if he doesn't listen, kick him out and get somebody else. Get one who also practices holistic medicine, and he can explain this to you and the best way to go about it. You see? How about psyllium seed? Psyllium is actually spelled P as in Peter, S-Y-L-L-I-U-M. Psyllium seed. And psyllium is a grain grown in India that is utilized for its fiber content. It is a good intestinal cleanser and stool softener. It is one of the most popular fibers used. It thickens very quickly when mixed with liquid and must be consumed immediately. And some doctors, you know, they recommend Metamucil. I know some of you take that Metamucil. You know what that is, which contains psyllium. Yes, they put psyllium in there. And hydrophilic mucilage as a laxative and fiber supplement. However, listen, I prefer less processing and all natural products. So just get the psyllium itself. Forget about the Metamucil. Okay? Go natural. And believe me, that's so. If you got a gut, which many of you do have these days, and some of you women think it's great to have a gut. It's like a fad. Oh, yeah, look, I got a gut. I mean, come on. You want flab to hang out over your clothes? Okay? That's nothing to be proud of. Okay? You should cover that up. But anyway, psyllium husk will help flatten the tummy, lose the gut. Keep that in mind, gentlemen and ladies. Okay? Next, cellulose. Let me spell that. C-E-L-L-U-L-O-S-E. Cellulose is an indigestible carbohydrate found in the outer layer of vegetables and fruits. It is good for hemorrhoids, for varicose veins, colitis, which is inflammation of the colon, and constipation, and for the removal of cancer-causing substances from the colon wall. Where do you find cellulose? God makes it easy for you. He gives you all these things in the earth, and many of you reject it. It is found in apples. And they always say apple a day keeps the doctor away. You should consume apples every day. Apples, beets, Brazil nuts, broccoli, carrots, celery, green beans, lima beans, pears, peas, and whole grains. There's others, but these are the main ones. So look into cellulose by consuming these foods. How about hemicellulose? That's hemicellulose. Hemicellulose. Hemicellulose is an indigestible complex carbohydrate that absorbs water. And it is good for promoting weight loss, relieving constipation, preventing colon cancer, and controlling carcinogens in the intestinal tract. So where do we find hemicellulose? Again, apples. Yes, apples are very important, brothers and sisters. Bananas, which I love so much. I make sure I have bananas in my smoothie every day. Every day. Also, where else is it found? It's found in beans, in beets, cabbage, corn. Make sure it's organic. Green leafy vegetables, pears, peppers, and whole grain cereals. You see? Look, the natural things, brothers and sisters, wake up. We'll take care of your body. Consume these things every day. Even if you are a meat eater, consume these things every day to help you. You just can't eat meat all day and think you're going to have health. Next is lignin. L-I-G-N-I-N. Okay, what is lignin? This form of fiber, and it's a fiber, is good for lowering cholesterol levels. It helps to prevent the formation of gallstones, which many of you have, okay? So prevent the formation of gallstones by binding with the bile acids and removing cholesterol before stones can form. It is beneficial for persons with diabetes or colon cancer. So where do we find lignin? It is found in Brazil nuts, carrots, green beans, peaches. Oh, I wish I had a Georgia peach right now. God almighty. These peaches up north up here, they're not that great. Let's put it that way. I'll be nice. But a Georgia peach, oh, I envy you guys in Georgia, man. And send me some of those good Georgia peaches. Also peas, potatoes, strawberries, tomatoes, and whole grains. Yes. Also tin. P as in Peter, ECTIN, pectin. Pectin because it slows the absorption of food after meals. Pectin is good for people with diabetes. You see how good this stuff is for diabetics? You diabetics, I hope you're listening. You can reverse this. It also removes unwanted metals and toxins, reduces the side effects of radiation therapy. Those who want to go and get x-rays and things of that nature, you better take plenty of pectin. Helps lower cholesterol and reduces the risk of heart disease and gallstones. Is found in apples. Again, apples must be number one. bananas, beets, cabbage, carrots, citrus fruits, dried peas, and those of you down New Orleans, okra. Yes, okra. Okay? Yeah, they are, and even up here too. But I know down in New Orleans, y'all like that okra. I'm not an okra fan, okay? But if someone knows how to prepare where I can really enjoy it, I would like you to make me some. Okay, anyway. These are all great. They are all great for your colon health. Now, combination fiber supplements. There are many products available that combine two or more different types of fiber, or that combine fiber with other ingredients. Okay? Yes. You find some of these, and I'm not going to name names. Go to the health food store, and you'll find these products, I'm sure, with no problem. And just speak to the nutritionist or whoever's in charge at the health food store about these products. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's do a couple. Let's see. How much time do we have here? Wow. Like that, maybe 18 minutes? Let's see what else we can cover. I guess we're just going to go with the natural food supplements for today. How about garlic? I know some of you say, that stuff smells. And some of you, yes, I love garlic. You know, I, as a kid, I remember parents making garlic bread. I used to love it. I used to love it. I never thought about the breath issue with garlic. But that stuff was tasty. But anyway, let's look at garlic. You know, garlic is one of the most valuable foods on this planet. Yes, you know, a lot of Asians eat garlic. Yes, if you go over there, that's all you're going to do is smell garlic because everybody's got it on their breath. You see, they eat garlic over there and they got very good health. But anyway, garlic is one of the most valuable foods on this planet. It has been used since biblical times and is mentioned in the literature of the ancient Hebrews, Greeks, Babylonians, the Romans, and the Egyptians. And the builders of the pyramids supposedly ate garlic daily for endurance and strength. Garlic lowers blood pressure through the actions of one of its components called methyl allyl trisulfide, which dilates blood vessel walls. It thins the blood by inhibiting platelet aggregation, which reduces the risk of blood clots and aids in preventing heart attacks. It also lowers serum cholesterol levels and aids in digestion. And garlic is useful for many diseases and illnesses, including cancer. And it is a potent immune system stimulant and a natural antibiotic. And it should be consumed daily. You know, it can be eaten fresh, taken in supplement form if you don't want the garlic breath, or used to prepare garlic oil. So garlic contains an amino acid derivative called alanine. When garlic is consumed, the enzyme alanase, which converts alanine to allicin, is released. And allicin has an antibiotic effect. It exerts an antibacterial effect estimated to be equivalent to 1% of that of penicillin. Because of its antibiotic properties, garlic was used to treat wounds and infections and to prevent gangrene during World War I. Yes. And garlic is also effective against fungal infections, including athlete's, yes, athlete's foot, systemic candidiasis, and yeast vaginitis. And there is some evidence that it may also destroy certain viruses, such as those associated with fever blisters, genital herpes, a form of the common cold smallpox, and a type of influenza. Yes, garlic. And garlic is, or the garlic oil is good for heart and colon, and is effective in the treatment of arthritis, candidiasis, and circulation problems. And if you want to make garlic oil, add peeled whole garlic cloves to a quart of olive oil or organic canola oil. But they should both be organic. Experiment to find the number of cloves that gives the degree of flavor you like. But be sure to wash your hands thoroughly and rinse the garlic after peeling and before placing it in the oil. The peel may contain mold and bacteria that can contaminate the oil, so you got to peel it. So keep this oil refrigerated. This mixture will help keep up for a month before you need to replace it with fresh oil. Garlic oil can be used for sautéing in salad dressings and in a variety of other ways. If you find the odor too strong after you eat garlic, chew some sprigs of parsley or mint or caraway or fennel seeds or buy some chlorophyll liquid, okay, to help get rid of that breath. And an alternative to fresh garlic is chiolic, which you find in your health food stores. It's an odorless, sociable garlic product and is available in tablet, capsule, and oil extract forms. So there you go. Okay, let's do a couple more. How about ginkgo biloba? That's G as in George, I-N-K-G-O, and biloba is B as in big, I-L-O, B as in big again, and A, ginkgo biloba. Now, you know, they say the ginkgo biloba tree is the oldest tree on the planet. And this ornamental tree, the ginkgo biloba, originated in China thousands of years ago and now grows in temperate climates throughout the world. The extract of its fan-shaped leaves is one of the world's most popular herbal products. It has been reported in scientific journals to enhance blood circulation and to increase the supply of oxygen to the heart, the brain, and all bodily parts. This makes it useful for improving memory and relieving muscle pains. It also acts as an antioxidant, has anti-aging effects, reduces blood pressure, inhibits blood clotting, and is helpful for tinnitus, vertigo, hearing loss, impotence, and Raynaud's disease. And ginkgo biloba is widely used as the smart herb of our time. It has even been shown to slow the early progression of Alzheimer's disease in some individuals. Ginkgo biloba. Now, let me express this to you. If for you are taking high blood pressure medication, you cannot use ginkgo biloba because it will thin the blood too thin and you'll have internal bleed. It's going to be one or the other. You see? So if you use
the ginkgo biloba, don't use high blood pressure medication. Okay? Remember that. But if you start changing your diet and start putting that fiber in there, you need that high blood pressure medication. And this way you can just use the ginkgo biloba to keep your blood thin. I think we have time for one more. Let's try ginseng. Yes, ginseng is G as in George, I-N-S-E-N-G. Now, ginseng is some good stuff. I always loved ginseng. I used a lot of ginseng in my time and still use it. But ginseng is used throughout the Far East as a general tonic to combat weakness and give extra energy. And there are a number of different types of ginseng. Okay, yes, you got the Siberian ginseng. You got American ginseng. You got Chinese or Korean ginseng. You see? Yes, and Panax ginseng is the most widely used species. Panax. P as in Peter, A-N-A-X. And the early Native Americans were familiar with ginseng. They called it gicens and used it for stomach and bronchial disorders, for asthma and neck pain. And Russian scientists claimed that ginseng root stimulates both physical and mental activity. It improves the endocrine gland function and has a positive effect on the sex glands. And ginseng is beneficial for fatigue because it spares glycogen, the form of glucose stored in the liver and muscle cells, by increasing the use of fatty acids as an energy source. It is used to enhance athletic performance, to rejuvenate and to increase longevity, and to detoxify and normalize the entire system. In low doses, ginseng seems to raise blood pressure. You hear that? While higher amounts appears to reduce blood pressure. Isn't that something? You need the higher amounts to reduce the blood pressure. So researchers suggest a high dose of ginseng may be helpful for inflammatory diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis without the side effects of steroids. And may also protect against the harmful effects of radiation. Ginseng is beneficial for people with diabetes because it decreases the level of the hormone called cortisol in blood. And cortisol, you know, interferes with the function of insulin. However, people with hypoglycemia should avoid using large amounts of ginseng. The root is sold in many forms as a whole root or root pieces. You know, the older the root, the more potent it is, and the old roots are very expensive. Yes. But anyway, but they have the less expensive ones too, the younger root. Anyway, they have root pieces, which are either untreated or blanched as a powder or powdered extract or as a liquid extract or concentrate in granules for instant tea, as a tincture in oil base and in tablets and capsules. These products should not contain sugar or added color and should be pure ginseng. Remember that. Read labels. A lot of these stores you go to, they give you that cheap stuff, your sugar and added color. No, it's supposed to be pure ginseng. So many supplement manufacturers add ginseng to combination products, but these are often contain such low amounts that they may not be effective. You see? So you want a high-quality Korean and Siberian ginseng products. Okay?
Yes. And take it for 15 to 20 days, followed by a rest period of 2 weeks. Avoid long-term uses of high doses. 15 to 20 days, and then rest for two-week period, and then you can start taking it again. Brothers and sisters, it's 7:25. Okay. I know I didn't get to the tonsillitis again. God willing, next week I will get to it. But I had to cover these things because this is just very important information. Because many of you suffer with blood pressure problems and cholesterol problems, and I'm giving you simple things that will help reverse these conditions. There's a few more I'd like to talk about next week. God willing, I will have some more for you. But for now, I have to leave you all. I thank you all for listening. Make sure you share this information with your family members, your friends, and your co-workers. And have them tune in every Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 6 to 7:30, so they also can get the benefit of this information. Again, I thank you, brothers and sisters. You all have a blessed evening, and may God bless you all. Again, peace. Assalamu alaikum.